this weekend, the Des Moines Symphony will present their fifth Masterworks concert, which this program celebrates America's immigrant heritage. I'm Jacqueline Hallbloom for the Iowa Art Showcase, and the symphony is presenting Ellis Island, the New World. And joining us today to tell us about this concert is Maestro Joseph Junta. And Maestro Junta, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, as always, Jacqueline.
So you are pulling out all the stops for this concert, and especially with this opening suite. Tell us about this opening work.
Yeah, this program is a tremendously important, and I think we're all quite proud of this. When this program is over, a lot of us, both our listeners and those of us that have been involved in producing it, are going to be very proud. Little did I know, Jacqueline, 2 years ago when I was working on this program, that immigration would become such a important, prominent topic in our political scene today, but it is. But the reason for us doing this remarkable and poignant Ellis Island, the Dream of America piece by American composer Peter Boyer is far from being political. It's just our mantra with every orchestra in this country is just to expose as much of the important repertoire as possible. The last 350 years, composers have been writing for orchestra, and we are all, our legacy is to play it. To play it and expose it for as big a public as possible. And this is a really, really good musical slash theatrical piece, and one that I'm very excited about. It's about the American immigrant experience, and it depicts stories from the Ellis Island Oral History Project. Now, this is a foundation that was set up about 20 years ago, and people in their late 70s, 80s, early 90s have been recruited to tape their stories about coming over through Ellis Island that started, of course, back in the 1800s and continues to this day. Peter originally wrote the piece for seven stories, seven actors from different countries, and we're doing five of those seven stories. And these five stories are very respectfully told by professional actors, underscored with some incredibly beautiful and poignant music. And there's some terrific visuals, some authentic black and white photographs of the immigrant experience from the 1910s, 1920s, but also some newer photographs of the Statue of Liberty and other things that make this a really, really important and exciting work to participate in. Now, the finale of all this, Jacqueline, after the five stories are told, the finale is all five actors come out on stage, and then they recite the very moving words by Emma Lazarus, the new Colossus, which is found at the base of the Statue of Liberty.
And tell us just briefly about the actors.
We have five actors. Jill Schellenberger and Roger Mueller are from Chicago. They've been in the theatrical scene there for many, many years, both Northwestern graduates and friends of mine from years ago. Stephen Yoakam is an actor from the Guthrie Theater, and he's performed on Beyond the Score and several other things we've done before. And then we have also two local actors that are part of our project.
A wonderful way for this concert to open, and that Peter Boyer piece is incredible. So the audience is in for a big treat.
Yeah, it's more than just the orchestra playing background music. I mean, there is some of that, but there's these beautiful interludes that sort of connect one story to another, and it's a very, very moving work. And as I have studied it the last 6 months and gotten involved with it musically, I realize how wonderfully poignant and I think I can say profound this music is. It's incredibly appropriate and, as I said, done in a wonderfully respectful and celebratory way.
Then you're bringing an internationally acclaimed pianist on stage. And tell us a bit about the Concerto in F. Everybody's heard about the Rhapsody.
Everybody has heard about the Rhapsody. As a matter of fact, the Rhapsody is one of the reasons that this concerto was written. There was a very famous concert on February 12th, 1924, in New York City, in Aeolian Hall, that Walter Damrosch, then the conductor of the New York Symphony, the predecessor of the New York Philharmonic, attended. And this was a concert that was called An Experiment in Modern Music. And you've heard me talk about this concert before. And it so happened that the concert lasted over 4 hours. And one of the pieces on the program was performed by a very young George Gershwin. It was called The Rhapsody in Blue. And Damrosch was so taken by this young man performing his own piece that he contacted him the next day and asked him to write a concerto based on this sort of American jazz that Gershwin was so good about. But he definitely wanted a piano concerto in the style or in the format, three-movement format, the way Beethoven or Mozart would have wanted. So the concert finally happened on December 3rd, 1925. It was sold out, and of course the public just went crazy over this work. The piece is in it, as I said, traditional three movements, and there's an allegro which has lots of indigenous jazz and syncopations and dance rhythms, and including the very famous Charleston, which was quite famous at the time. It has lots of pentatonic runs. That means all the black keys on the piano, and a very exciting sort of reminiscent of the hustle and bustle of New York City and in the 20s and 30s. Gershwin himself said that this, he felt in his own mind that this represented the young and enthusiastic spirit of American life. The second movement's a very slow blues movement that Gershwin certainly would have heard with his brother Ira in Tin Pan Alley or one of the smoky clubs in New York City at the time. And then the final movement is a wonderful cacophonous of rhythms and pentatonic progressions and virtuoso writing. And it's kind of reminiscent of the improvisation of the day. It's very fresh and spirited and vibrant and the perfect finale for this wonderful work.
And tell us how you're going to polish off this Ellis Island, The New World concert.
Well, Jacqueline, you know, since the first piece, the Peter Boyer piece, is about the immigrant experience, and in the early 1890s, Moishe Gershovitz, who was from his native Russia, came through Ellis Island, who was George and Ira's father. I thought, well, we need to continue that theme, and there was no better piece that I could think of was the Dvorak Symphony No. 9, appropriately titled From the New World, since he wrote part of that symphony, the finale of that symphony, in a little town called Spillville, Iowa, in northeast Iowa. So Dvorak, of course, and his family came through Ellis Island to work here in the States to start a school of music, which was the predecessor of the Juilliard School. And he was in this country for 3 years, and I thought, what a wonderful way to end a program about the immigrant experience.
And what a terrific piece of music to have as the end, yes.
Well, it's a great piece of music. I mean, it's maybe one of the greatest pieces ever written. And you know what we heard a lot about Dvorak and his time in America? What sometimes we don't remember is that Dvorak really liked America. He loved its people. He loved our work ethic. He loved the students that he had at the school. He was introduced to some wonderful music that he had not heard of before, including some spirituals and Native American music. And his time in America seemed to really inspire him. Now, he was also terribly homesick during his years here. And so whatever he wrote in this country, the New World Symphony, the American String Quartet, the Dvorak Cello Concerto, you can always tell that there's this sort of hint of nostalgia and homesickness. And of course, for anyone that's ever been homesick, you know that that's a feeling that just doesn't go away so easily. But he loved this country, and he felt that it had a real future in developing its own voice, and how exciting to have probably the most prominent composer of the time be attracted to New York City by that wonderful philanthropist Jeanette Thurber, and hire him to start a school of music that would begin to think about an American sound in music.
So, Maestro Junta, how can folks get more info and tickets to this concert?
Tickets are available through our website and also information there at dmsymphony.org. And prior to about 30 minutes before each concert on Saturday evening and Sunday afternoon, the box office at the Civic Center. And of course, always the box office is open about between 10 and 5 every day at the Civic Center.
Thanks for today's interview goes to IPR's John Pemble, Chris Fenton, and Alexis Hahn. And a big thanks to Maestro Junta for taking time out of his busy schedule to join us today.
Thank you, Jacqueline.